welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamble.
Welcome to Education Currents. We're glad you could join us today. And in the studio with me is Dr. Tooley, who has his doctorate degree in leadership. And glad to have you here today. And today we're going to be, well, the name of the show is Guns, Public School, and Your Children's Safety. And it was a really desperate tragedy. I can't imagine Sandy Hook. I cannot imagine the heartache. I can't imagine the tearing that something like that can bring. And it's opened Pandora's box. Politicians are flocking to it for their own purposes to try to pass legislation that has been dear to their heart. The people of the United States are horrified by it. We're, you know, buried in a culture of violence, it seems like. And so the questions that are pouring out of this are, number one, how can I keep my child safe in school? Are the things that are being proposed going to help that safety? How do I balance safety off with Second Amendment rights to the Constitution of the United States? So let's start, first of all, with the idea of, will legislating against guns bring more safety to our public schools?
Well, we have one experiment where it's already been tried. There was a ban on assault weapons when Columbine happened, and it didn't prevent Columbine from happening. The problem that we have is that we blame a tool for something that I believe is significantly more complex than just a tool. People will point to violent crimes in general and say, well, you know, look at violent crimes where guns are. But when studies really are looked at, violent crimes are higher where there are no guns than they are where there are guns. And an example is in England. I think there's like 3,000 plus or minus a few hundred violent crimes per 100,000 population, where in the United States it's only like 499 per 100,000 population. So to legislate just simply to point at guns and say that guns are the problem fails to recognize a legacy that started clear back in the 60s, where we began to depopulate mental health institutions and began to reclassify people as being safe to be out on the street. We introduced new mind-altering drugs that children are now on, and we introduced violence through television and now more significantly through video games. And in that milieu lies probably the root of the real issue.
So we're looking at, and all, you know, everything that you've mentioned to me, okay, there's a master cause behind all of that. And that master cause, and I know I may offend some people, but so be it. That master cause is humanism. Humanism is the idea that God's not going to do anything, and therefore we need to get off the seat of our pants and do something for ourselves. We need to get out there and make society better. So all of these measures that you mentioned was the idea of making society better. I'm going to mainstream people instead of putting them in institutions. I'm going to mainstream them. I'm going to try to create a utopia, to create a society that's perfect, because God's not going to do it. So I'm going to reject the idea of God. I'm going to reject the idea of religion. And that's led us down this path to the point that we need something. In my opinion, I think that gun control, let me just put it this way. In my opinion, I think that gun control, or even outlawing all guns, is, you know, something you could do, but it doesn't fix the trajectory that we're on. the trajectory that causes violence towards children. If we look at the statistics of the amount of children murdered per year, the 22 kids at Sandy Hook are just a fraction.
Well, we've got to go one more step further than that. Because we talk about guns, and they become the focal point of this violence. Probably because guns can create the most extraordinary types of killing that we're talking about. But think about something as simple as bullying. Now, I don't know how you cure it, because I can remember back in the day when I was a kid, if we had a bully, well, you know, the idea was you stood up to the bully and pretty soon the bully would back down. But bullying is different now, too, in that, first of all, children by law can't defend themselves the same way they could when I was a kid, because they could end up sitting in front of a judge for hurting someone. But also, bullying tends now to be a group activity where there's a large group attacking one. And there's not an easy answer to that, because the parents may recognize that bullying, but they now have to go to a system which really is not adequately equipped to take care of it. And in that, if you have a child that is disturbed somehow, mentally disturbed, to the point where they're going to take fatal action, there's no way to measure how that's going to happen. And I believe when we look in the history of every one of the instances of violent crimes that have happened in schools where school killings have occurred, there has been some instance of something like that occurring where the child was not mentally stable that committed the crimes and had been involved in some type of abuse by his peers.
So, you know, we're really looking at the results of, I just come out and say the results of the removal of God from the society. And if we try to make our schools safer or our communities safer or our world safer by removing guns, and I by the way, I don't own a firearm, and I'm not an advocate specifically for that. What I'm trying to do is to get down to the root of the problem. If they want to take away guns, you know, they may do it. But is that, see, to me, is that really going to cure what's happening to our society? Or are we going to just continue to sink? And, you mentioned that it's an interesting statistic, but more children die indirectly as a result of bullying than those 22 kids.
Yes.
Each year. Through suicide. I mean, the suicide rate from bullying, and like you said, it's not the same as it used to be. Now they can go on Facebook and they can go on social media and they can ruin, at least in the eyes of a young person, their life.
And it gets much more complicated too as you go on. It used to be that, you know, we want to say, okay, let's solve this by putting God up there, and everybody turned to God, and we would get there. Part of the problem that you have is, how did you build a culture such that if there was a bully, and it used to be this way, that if there was a bully that was bullying, then the weaker party would suddenly find themselves having a hero or heroes who would tell the bully, stop, don't come any further, or there's going to be trouble. There would be protectors among the siblings or the peers that would do some protecting. An example of where we've come to is in the news is a story of a group of people who were in downtown New York, in Greenwich Village, New York, and they came out of a place there, and there was another group of people there, and they got into a tussle, some kind of a discussion there. The other group went back to their cars and got tire irons and everything else they could do and beat one guy, stomped on him. He's in the critical care, and the statement from a bystander said, I screamed for someone to call the police, and I could almost not bear to watch it while she videotaped the whole incident.
It's not funny, actually. It's pretty sad. So if you were king, to create a safer environment, not only in the society, but within the public schools that serve that society, what are some things you would do?
That's a really, really complicated question, because you will have to back up and start somewhere back where common sense comes in. I would say one of the things I would do right off to start with would be to make it much more difficult for couples to have children who were not married. Now, that sounds archaic and old, but a huge influence on young people is the presence of a father in their lives. There's plenty of statistics to back that up. When you take away the father, some people like to say the mother is the moral compass. If that's the case, then the father's the container for that moral compass. Young people who are raised in homes where they do not have a father, or single-parent homes, they don't have a mother, it's very, very difficult for them. And that's not a panacea. But the point is, when you start there, and it's particularly, right now, it's particularly relevant for fathers, because fathers are virtually non-existent or becoming non-existent in this country. And there's been questions, where is my father? You know, there's, you see it in some schools, you know, kids come in after Christmas break, I got a new daddy. You know, so men, and the latest TV show that just got nixed by the networks was 14 kids from 14 mothers from one dad, and they're not married to any of them. This is where society is going. And what do you think those young people are being taught about consistency, about responsibility, and about respect?
Okay, let me if you will, indulge me here, and let me use a biological simile. As you know, if you get a cold or most sicknesses, those sicknesses actually can be traced to the cells in your body. The cells begin to become sick. And when enough of these cells become sick, your body's kind of notified that it's sick, and it begins to break down. And you know, even diseases such as cancer are at the cellular level. And as the cells break down, when enough of the cells break down, then organs fail. And as these organs fail, then eventually the body fails and dies unless it's cured. In our society, if you likened the family to cells, as the family becomes more and more sick, if you will, or more and more dysfunctional, that reflects in the society at large. And the society becomes more and more dysfunctional. And whether it's you know, destroying fetuses in the womb or babies in the womb, I mean, we do over 100,000 a year, 100,000 a year. In this country, and to celebrating the idea that I don't have a dad, or my mom and my brothers come from different parents, it shows a breakdown in society whereby we cannot transmit values. The values stop being transmitted, and the shared values break down. And what replaces that vacuum of values in a person's life? Isn't it selfishness? I mean, out to get what you can?
Well, anarchy does. Different people go in different directions. And there will be more victims, and there will be more predators. Because there is nothing in there to establish, for boys, what it means to be a man, other than being able to produce children by as many different women as you possibly can. So now you're judged as being a man by doing that, as opposed to being a man that represents strength of character, represents constancy, and is someone who will do what they say they're going to do when they need to do it, and will be there during the tough times.
And has self-discipline.
And has respect for women, has respect for other people, and shows that respect. Common sense. You don't have common sense if you don't have some of these other values. Now, it used to be that our culture had that. But think about how culture is created. Ideology creates culture through community. So when you start tearing apart community, you start really at the family. When you start breaking apart family, you start tearing apart community. Now, community can reshape. And in a lot of ways, it has. Facebook now, for instance, is a community. But it's different. It is far different to have that kind of community than a community in which you live. I guarantee you that most people listening don't even know their next-door neighbors.
You know, I think of the way I grew up. I grew up on a compound in West Africa. Well, I spent 5 years as a child there. And, you know, it was interesting because there was probably between 35 to 40 expatriates that were on this compound. It was like a little ship in the middle of a foreign country. And it forced community. And it, you know, we had to learn to deal with one another face to face. We had to learn politeness. We had to learn what to talk about and what not to talk about. And nowadays we don't have that. We don't have a community that is a face to face community. We don't have family structure as firmly implanted, and it's breaking down by the moment further and further. You know, we're getting into the idea of marriage. Anything that wants to marry can marry, because that's, I guess, fair. Although I don't know where you get fairness from, since, you know, I mean, I guess if you're the strongest guy in the room, you get to say what's fair and what's not fair. So we don't have any type of, as you say, constancy or consistency. Now you add on to this the mentally disabled and not disabled per se, but diseased, the mentally diseased. And does it not exacerbate that problem? We've always had people with mental problems, but the communities themselves could deal with that much better than they do now. They could see it and identify it that much better than they do now. And people were willing to step in. I mean, you go back to when we had extended families and how many eyes each child had on them as they grew up. But now we're breaking down to becoming more and more isolated. Humans are becoming more and more isolated. From the very structures of their families are isolating.
Yeah, part of the problem is the idea of equality. So we want to say that we define equality as that the playing field is level and everybody is equal on it. All right. So that means then in some people's minds that equality is I can marry that person over there, even though they, who knows what they are, they'd be my dog because we're all equal, you know. So we got to keep everybody equal. And you couple that with the idea of liberty. Liberty does not happen without responsibility. If you do not take responsibility, you do not have liberty. Liberty also wars with the idea of equality, in that if you have liberty, there will be those who succeed where others might fail. Well, do we say success and failure precludes equality, or is equality, you know, so if success and failure can't coexist with equality, suddenly we have to make the failures succeed, and those who are very successful succeed a little bit less so that we keep it equal. And the equality issue also comes to, if you have someone who has a mental illness, they may be equal with you, but does that equality mean that they should be walking down the street free to do what they might do out there? Or does that equality say we need to provide something for them?
So bringing it down to what a person that is listening to us could do would be to strengthen their own family, the family that they have, that God has entrusted to them. And even if, you know, because even though this a single parent household is not the most ideal, sometimes it happens, and sometimes it happens not due to the person's fault that ends up being the single person, the single parent. Many times it's not their fault at all. I mean, the circumstances in life, and even then sometimes we're young and we don't know what we're doing. So that doesn't preclude having a strong family being a single parent. It might not be ideal, but isn't that what we want to do? We want to go and surround our our children in our homes with strong values that we're consistent with, that we can pass on to our kids, that give them values that they can face this crazy world with.
I would suggest some very simple steps here. If you're a family, turn off your TV, turn off the computers. Try this sometime. Shut down all your electronic devices and go camping for a week. In a cabin if you want to, if you don't want to rough it. Go to a cabin for a week, but no electronic devices, nothing, nada. No computers, no cell phones, no iPods, no iPads, nothing, nothing. Do it for a week. Stay together. See if at the end of that week you haven't developed some communication or you've killed each other. But it will be a
difference. Speaking from experience.
It will be life-changing for you. Secondly, if you're a single parent, your kids, and especially if you're a single mother, your kids need to find a strong role model, male role model, and that male role model shouldn't be the next man that wants to come knocking at your door. Get those kids into some of the Boys and Girls Clubs and someplace else where there are men in those clubs who are strong role models for them.
Yeah, let me add here that make sure it is a legitimate, you know, don't just pick Uncle Guido that looks good, you know, even as a relative that you want to mentor your kid, because it's too dangerous this day and age. Make sure that the background checks have been done and that, you know, that it is a proper and good role model.
Well, that's why I use the term Boys and Girls Club, because the Boys and Girls Club is a legitimate Boys and Girls Club. It's recognized. The background checks are done. Those people who are working in there are good people, and they can provide good role models. YMCA, good organization. Look at the United Way. If you need to go to the United Way and ask those people in the United Way, where is a good place for my kids to be? You will find them. But those young people need a good male role model if you're a single woman family, single family with a woman as the head of it. Then do not allow people who are not committed to be part of that family. They need to be committed, and they need to also treat you and your children with respect.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, so on that note, we'll have to end today's discussion. And I'd like to remind you to visit www.educationcurrents.com. And God bless. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. You know, be sure and like Education Currents on Facebook, and also consider partnering with us in this educational ministry. You can share your resources or show ideas. My address is P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call me at 301-824-3162.